Going to look at Daniel, as I mentioned, a model of influence. As Christians, we have an obligation. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9, Peter there talks about the fact that we are chosen of God, a special people, a holy nation. But he says our purpose is to proclaim the excellencies of him who called you. Steve Wagner mentioned this morning a verse before the closing prayer in Titus 2:14. That has been the keynote verse of a study that the college students have been doing for the last year and a half, basically, or year. In Titus 2:14, Paul there says that Jesus gave his life for us that he might redeem us and purify us as a possession of his, that we might be zealous for good deeds. In Romans 1, chapter 1 and verse 14, Paul has been talking about what God has done as far as redeeming mankind, and he says there that I am a debtor. I have an obligation. I owe something back to God, and that debt he has is to share the faith that he has, to tell other people about that, not to keep that to himself. And so we see all of these instances. A reading that we just recently had in Mark chapter 5, Jesus has healed a man, and the man is so overwhelmed with gratitude that he wants to follow Jesus and go with him and be his disciple. And Jesus says, no, I want you to go back home, and I want you to tell your family and your friends, the people in your community, what God has done for you. That's what I want you to do. We need to be an influence for God. And tonight we're going to look at Daniel and how Daniel did that as a positive influence. There are qualities that we need to have if we are going to have that positive influence. And I have four of those listed, and I'd like to go through those and look at those tonight with you. The first one is just the idea of character. We are to be people of character. In Ezekiel chapter 14 and verse 14, and a couple of places, especially in Ezekiel 14, God mentions to him about the righteous character of three individuals. And he mentions Noah and Job and Daniel. And he talks about the character of these individuals. Daniel was a peer of Ezekiel. They lived at the same time in the same area. He knows Daniel personally, at least knows of Daniel's influence personally. He's affected by that. But he also knows the story of Noah and Job and of the influence that they had and the character they had that brought about that influence. In Daniel chapter 1 and verse 9, it says that God granted Daniel favor and compassion. He did that because of Daniel's character. You read the first 8 verses of that chapter, and it leads up to that, the kind of individual that Daniel was. Daniel was selected along with 3 other young Jewish captives to serve in a certain position, and they had to meet the standards of the king. So they already had a character that was acceptable to what the king was looking for, but it far excelled that, as we'll see as we continue on. In Esther chapter 2 and verse 15, it says that Esther found favor in the eyes of everyone who knew her. Everyone who knew her. And at this point, she has been selected as one of the candidates to be the queen, has gone through a year of training, and so she knows people from her Jewish community. She knows family and friends. She also knows a whole group of other people here, and she would win the, I guess, Miss Congeniality Award. You know, everyone liked her, and everyone appreciated her, and it was because of her character. She had an influence on those around her because of the type of person she was. In Job 2 and verse 10, Job has gone through the loss of his children and his wealth and all that he has, and now his health even is gone. And it says, in all this, Job did not sin. Imagine the influence you would have on individuals if you went through this type of an ordeal and they see you going through that and think in amazement, how can they deal with all of that and not be angry, not be hateful, not be bitter? And yet Job was not. Job's influence, his character, set about an influence that all those around him could see. The next point is that of determination. Back in Daniel chapter 1, again in verse 8, the preceding verse that we looked at earlier said that Daniel made up his mind. Daniel knew what he was going to do, and this is before maybe he has to make choices. He knows what's coming along, but he says, this is what I'm going to do. In Ezra chapter 7 and verse 10, the same thing. Ezra says, set his heart. He was going to study the word. He's going to put it into practice in his own life. And then he was going to teach others. He had a determination, a mindset of what he was going to accomplish. And that goes because of his character. In Esther chapter 4 and verse 16, the passage is on the board. Esther has been selected as queen. A plot has been found out that would destroy the Jews, and her uncle comes to her and says, you need to go before the king and make a petition for the nation. And she's hesitant at first because she says, no one goes before the king, no one appears before the king in the court without him inviting you. If I go there without an invitation, I could suffer serious punishment, and he hasn't called for me in a month, and you're wanting me to go see him. And he explains to her the seriousness of this situation. She said, I will go, and if I perish, I perish. But she had the determination to see through this and to know that her life could be an influence that could save her, that could save the nation. And we'll see later where she did. To our determination, we add persistence. We talked about this a little bit in our class this morning. You can have all the determination in the world, but if you don't act on it, if you're not persistent about it, you'll never get there. Someone that says, you know, I want to be a whatever, you fill in the blank, but yet they don't work at it, they're never gonna get there. In Daniel chapter 6 and verse 10 here, this is late in Daniel's life. Daniel is probably well into his 80s. The Babylonians have been conquered by the Medo-Persian Empire. A new ruler has come in to take charge. Daniel has been promoted to a very high position. And because of that, because of his influence over the king, he has drawn a lot of envy and arrogance and attention from those who wish to see Daniel fail. And they know by Daniel's character, I think this is a testament to his persistence, they know there's nothing they can charge Daniel with. His whole life has been perfect. And he's never done anything to where they could bring up and say, well, here's where Daniel messed up way back where and dig something up from who knows what closet. There was nothing in Daniel's life like that. And so they have to devise, plan and enact a law that will be in conflict with David's conscience. That's the only way they can do this. They're going to have to do something because they know, did I say David? Daniel? They're going to have to come up with something that they know that Daniel cannot do because of his faithfulness to God. And so they enact this law that no one can offer a petition, a prayer to anyone besides the king. The king puts it into plan, and the day that the law is enacted, these men evidently go and seek out David. And in chapter 6 and verse 10, it said that David was praying, as was his habit. They knew what he was going to be doing because he so lived his character and his determination, his faithfulness, his persistency, action in his life, the consistency in his life. They knew what he would be doing, and he would be praying, and they could catch him and turn him over to the king for punishment. Genesis 6, verses 13 through 22 gives us the account of Noah and God coming to him and telling that, I'm going to destroy the world and I need you to build an ark to save those whom I have chosen to save from this, those who are righteous. And I don't know how long it took him to build the ark. The account tells us that Noah's sons were born when he was 500 years old, and Noah entered the ark when he was 600 years old. So whatever the time frame was that God gave Noah this information to when the ark was actually completed and the rains began, Noah is building an ark. You can't build a structure that size with drawing some attention. Will and Julie are doing an addition on the house. You can't see it real well from the road because it's back behind the house, but there are piles of dirt and gravel and things everywhere. I'm sure that there are people who know them that will drop by and say, "What are you doing? What are you building? What are you building now?" Because Will's known to do a lot of building out there. You can't do something like that without drawing some attention and people wanting to know why. And so imagine Noah building this ark and people coming by and, "Noah, what are you doing?" And he explains it to them and they just perhaps laugh at him, mock him, or just like, yeah, right, you know, and go on their way. He never stops building, and that whole time he's building, he's preaching to them and teaching them what's going to happen. Let's make this ark obsolete. If you will repent, we won't need this. I can quit building it. But he never stops. The persistence and the consistency in his life brings about influence. That doesn't mean it will necessarily change anything, but it certainly is an influence. The last one I want to look at is the idea of faithfulness. And Mark led several songs that dealt with our faithfulness. Daniel chapter 3, verses 16 through 18, similar to the situation with Esther, but Daniel's three friends that had been captured with him or taken into captivity and served as Daniel had and been promoted. You remember the story perhaps how they had refused to bow down to an idol that the king had established, and so now they were facing the death penalty. And the king gives them another chance and said, "All right, if you will bow down, I will drop the charges. All you have to do is bow down and worship." And their answer is, "We will serve our Lord. Whatever happens, to the point of death, being faced with death, they're faithful. They never waver in that." And as we see what happens if you continue reading that account in chapter 3, their influence is just going to magnify. And we'll notice a little bit of that later on here in the lesson. Their faithfulness to their God and serving is a testimony to their influence. The last one here in Daniel chapter 6 and verse 20 is the key passage. When Daniel has been arrested for praying and brought before the king and charged, it's interesting, Daniel makes no defense. Daniel doesn't say anything. The king offers the defense. The king has promoted Daniel to a very high position, and I'm sure at this time realizes that this has been a setup to get Daniel executed, and he played an unknowing part in that. But notice in verse 20 it says, "Daniel, servant of the living God," or he speaks to him afterwards. I'm sorry, this is after the charge, and he goes to see if David is safe. But he says, "Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God whom you constantly serve been able to deliver you from the lions?" He knows in his heart what Daniel's character and what his life is and the consistency is. He says, "Daniel, you constantly serve your God. Has your God delivered you?" And then he hears what he's been wanting to hear all night long because he can't sleep. And Daniel says, "I'm fine. My God has delivered me." But the king sees that in Daniel, that Daniel has constantly served. His faithfulness is without compromise. So you look at these four qualities and the influence that it brings upon these people and the character and what they're able to do. So what are the results of that? You say, so if I have this influence, what good will that do in the kingdom? Well, let's look at some examples. In the book of Genesis, we read about Joseph, and Joseph being sold by his own brothers to traders who take him to Egypt and sell him there. And he serves as a servant in a home and then is imprisoned and later becomes to the position second only to Pharaoh. Joseph's influence brought about the salvation of Israel more than once. He saved them the first time from starvation. And his influence so manifested himself that the king invited Joseph to bring his family there and live. And they didn't like the Hebrews. But yet Joseph's influence overcame that, and they lived there and became servants and worked with and for the Pharaoh. We mentioned Esther a while ago. Her influence brought about the salvation of the Hebrew nation from annihilation. For the past 2,500 years, Jews celebrate that day. They've never forgotten what Esther was able to do. And if she hadn't had the influence over her husband, the king, that she didn't, if she didn't have the character and the determination and the consistency in her life, that would probably have never happened. But it did because of who she was. And of course, God working through that, but it was because of her character, because of her faithfulness to God. Her uncle Mordecai, who we read about in the same situation here, would go on, and his influence would direct the affairs of a world power. Imagine God's people in Mordecai, in Joseph, in Esther, in Daniel, God's people directly influencing the affairs of the most powerful nation in the world. And we think, what can I do? What? Daniel was taken into captivity. Esther was put into a position that she didn't ask for, as was Daniel. Mordecai, certainly, his character thrust him into a position that he was not particularly trained to do, but it put him in a position to affect things in the world. Joseph's whole life is just one of ups and downs. And you think, what can I do? Well, you can't do anything in and of yourself. But if you put on the character that God would have us to do like these have, He can do all kinds of things with you. The sky's the limit what God can do with your influence if you will let Him do that. Just give your life to Him and say, okay, God, here, I will live like this, and whatever situations you put me in, I will serve you faithfully. And you look at these individuals, and they were not particularly special when they started. And you look where they ended. A young shepherd boy named David turns the tide of a battle and elevates God's people to a fearsome world power when he stands before Goliath and accepts his challenge. Look at what that one day did in the history of Israel and what David was able to accomplish. I want to turn back to the book of Daniel and finish here with three different examples of Daniel's influence. And none of them are Daniel speaking. These are the kings speaking. In Daniel chapter 2 and verse 47, after Daniel has interpreted a dream, told Nebuchadnezzar what the dream was and interpreted, the king would answer Daniel and say, surely your God is a God of gods and a Lord of kings, a revealer of mysteries. Nebuchadnezzar understands something about Daniel's God. It's just a beginning. But he understands something here. Turn over to chapter 3 and verse 29. after Daniel's friends are delivered safely from the fire, Nebuchadnezzar says, "Blessed be the God," in verse 28, "of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angels and delivered his servants." And in verse 29, he sets apart a decree that death is the punishment if anybody says anything against this God. You don't curse this God. You don't do anything offensive against this God of these men. Their influence would turn a king. In chapter 4, in verse 37, Nebuchadnezzar has been humbled and humiliated because of his arrogance and his pride. And when he comes to his senses, he says, "Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise, exalt, and honor the King of heaven, for all his works are true and his ways just, and he is able to humble those who walk in pride." Nebuchadnezzar doesn't say anything about Daniel's God or Shadrach's God. He says, "I praise the King of heaven." Look at the influence that Daniel and his friends have had over this king, going from someone who recognizes him as being pretty powerful to now he exalts him and honors him and knows who he is and recognizes that. And that's taken years to do. How long might it take your influence to turn a spouse or a parent or a child or a sibling or a neighbor? How long might it take that influence to turn them? But it turns them. And you can do that. We can do that. We need to be persistent and consistent, and our faithfulness be there, and our determination and our character be what it needs to be, and they will see that. Connor read tonight in Matthew chapter 15, or chapter 5, and then also in chapter 13 in verse 33, God talks about salt and light and leaven. Little things that don't seem real significant. I don't eat mashed potatoes without salt. It's just not worth it, you know. It needs something to fix it. And it doesn't take a lot. A little bit makes it palatable. You can see a single light a long way away. How far away are the stars? You know, years and years away. And yet we see the light from them. How much leaven does it take in a little bit of leaven in a lump of dough? Jesus talks about leaven's the whole lump. It affects it. It influences. I mentioned to you before, we mentioned the story about an egg and a carrot and coffee. And you take three pots of water and set them all to boil and put a carrot in one and an egg in another and a coffee in the other one. The water affects the carrot and the egg. It softens the carrot to where it has no more strength to it. It hardens the egg, but the coffee changes the water. What are we in this community? You know, does the community, does our environment affect us? Or do we affect the community? Are we the coffee that affects the community around us, and we make that change because of what we are? That's what we need to work at. That's what we need to look at and think, I can make a change. Just a little bit, perhaps, but I can make a change. And what will that change affect? And then that one and that one and that one. You've probably seen at one time or another on television or on the internet or someplace where someone has set up, you know, whatever the world's record is for dominoes and touches the first one. And maybe 20 minutes later, they're all down. But you just touch that first one and it just keeps going. It is said of Paul and those who were preaching that they turned the world upside down. And they were just teaching people. The Ethiopian, or the Philip provided no miracle for the Ethiopian. He just taught him. Philip taught Cornelius. And the influence that goes from there, who knows what kind of measure that has. I hope that we will be people of influence, that we will put on those characteristics and realize we can make a change in the community around us. The song Mark has selected for the invitation tonight is "Let Him Have His Way With Thee." And the verses ask a question. Would you do this? Would you live for Jesus? Would you walk with Him? Would you have Him bear your burden? Would you do these things? And the chorus says, His power can make that happen. In the first chapter of the book of Genesis, you read that and it says, and God said, and there was. God said, let there be a giant sequoia here. Let there be a redwood forest here. Let there be whales out here. And they just were. And when you try to comprehend the power of just His spoken word able to create that is amazing. But in Romans 1:16, it says, His word is a power to save. He can turn hearts. He can change people that you thought would never change. But His word has that power, and it still does today. Again, the passage that Connor read said that we are an influence so that God might be given the glory. And people see a change in your life or how you live, and God gets the glory for that. Would you live for Jesus? Would you say, I'm going to be an influence, a positive influence for good? I'm going to give Him my life and let Him take it and let Him work amazing things with me. If you've never obeyed His gospel, and there are some here tonight who haven't, I hope that you'll seriously consider that and change that. And if you're a little bit short on some of these other things we looked at, maybe you'll start raising the bar and say, I want to be more of an influence to the community around me and change some things. If you're subject in any way to His invitation, we ask you to come while we stand and sing.